Hey, oh God, that was bad. What's going on, you guys? Welcome to The Camera Adds 10 Pounds. I'm your host, Peter Sears. What's up? Before we start, you guys know what I'm about to say, but I have to say it. Before we start, I got to let you guys know this podcast is brought to you by my good friends at PerfectShaker.com. Perfect Shaker has all of your fitness accessory needs. So they have shaker cups, hence the name Perfect Shaker. They have the Perfect Shaker with the lightning rod inside, the little mixer ball. I don't even know what it's called. I know there's a patented name for it. I don't know. I'm sorry. Bad ad read, but they shake up everything. Your protein, your pre-workout, all that stuff. They come in superheroes, MLB teams, wrestlers, like all sorts of pop culture things. And they have workout towels. They have the best workout towels, wrist straps. They have meal prep bags, meal prep containers, pill containers, everything for the fitness lover in your life. So if you have a fitness lover in your life, or you are the fitness lover in your life, do yourselves a favor. Go to PerfectShaker.com. Enter the promo code 10 pounds, the word 10, the word pounds. You will save 15% off of your order. And also, they have you can personalize your shit. So if you have like a company or like a logo, like I did, you know, get laughs, die trying, got some shaker cups with that, you can do that as well. Like I said, do yourselves a favor. Go to PerfectShaker.com. Enter promo code 10 pounds. Word 10, word pounds, you'll save 15% off of your order. And as always, this podcast is brought to you by my good friends at Bucked Up Supplements. That's right, you guys. Guess what? I hate to say it, but I have to. I'm 44 years old. I know. I'm 44 years young. I've outlived my mom, which is just a weird sentence to say at any moment, let alone at this young age of 44. But I take very good care of myself, as you guys know. And I mean, largely, a lot of it just is self-discipline and all that good stuff. But also, I happen to take a lot of Bucked Up supplements, including my favorite, which is their testosterone booster, natural testosterone booster called RUT. If you're a guy, mid-30s-ish, you feel like you're losing energy, losing muscle. Now, it could be because you're a fucking lazy piece of shit and you eat like shit and you don't exercise. That might be why you feel like shit. But if you're getting after it all the time like I do and you still feel those things, you might be experiencing your testosterone levels dropping, because that's what happens as we get older, unfortunately. So get yourself a natural testosterone booster. I'm not a big steroids guy. It's not worth it to me. I like fucking. I like knowing that I can fuck whenever I want. I mean, you know, granted, with consent and all that stuff. But, like, I just want to make sure that my dick still works. So steroids, to me, are not a viable option, because I don't want anything to jeopardize my ability to fuck. That being said, I do still want to keep my testosterone up. So by taking a natural booster like RUT, I'm able to do that. I feel great. I look great. My energy is great. It helps my mood. I know we had an episode a few weeks ago about ashwagandha. That is also in RUT. So there you go. You're welcome. There's tribulus in there. There's B12, which is a huge energy booster. There's just so many things that help you with your natural testosterone production. So I take that. I take the pre-workout. So no matter what your fitness goal is, sorry, I went off on a tangent there, but if you're trying to lose weight, they've got supplements for that. If you're trying to gain muscle, they have supplements for that. If you're an endurance person like me, they have supplements for that. If you're pregnant, they've got stuff for that. If you're a girl, they've got stuff for that. You know, they got all kinds of stuff. So do yourselves a favor. Go to buckedup.com, enter the promo code 10 pounds, the number 10, the word pounds. You will save 20% off your order. I know, dude. Okay, so I want you guys to hear this fucking song really quick. Are you ready? My audio is a little off today, so I'm sorry now, but you guys can get the gist if you haven't heard this song yet. What? Sing it, Justin. Hey girl. What? Turn that shit up, PD. Hell. I just can't find cotton candy. Yep. What? Take it. Look, you have no idea, but if you're really curious, woo, buddy, what? I've listened to this song several times during my workouts since it came out, maybe we can run it back twice. Now that's something right there, I like that line, maybe we can run it back twice. He's basically saying, like, we could probably fuck twice, and I don't know about you guys, but I'm one of those, you know, I don't care. I'll fucking say it. I can go more than once in a night. I know. And I mean, part of it is because I just love sex. You know, we could talk about it. We're guys, mostly. Maybe there's some girls listening. You're welcome, ladies. Not always, but oftentimes I can go twice, maybe three times. Not trying to brag. I think part of it is because I just have a high sex drive in general, which is the result of good testosterone levels. And I'm not saying that rut is a factor, but, you know, you get to be our age. You know, guy in his mid-40s. Not supposed to be able to fucking just get right back after it, you know, in a few minutes. But, I mean, it is what it is, man. Also, I will say part of it is probably because I fuck hot girls. And, you know, I'm excited and I want to fuck again. You know, first time I'm usually, you know, you get it what I'm saying. Anyway, so that's a new song by Justin Timberlake called Imagination off of the Everything I Thought It Was album, which is literally everything I thought it was. So today's special for me, you guys. So I don't know how long you guys have been listening. Maybe you guys just tuned in today. Maybe you tuned in fucking, you know, you've been tuned in since the beginning. I really don't know. Okay. A lot of you guys listen to this podcast and never like comment or leave a review, which I ask you guys to do every fucking episode. I say, hey, go to Apple Podcasts, leave a review so that I know, and then it helps me with the algorithm. Most of you guys just listen to it for free and don't leave any fucking messages, and that's fine, but like, I'm just saying, I like to see what people like and don't like and whatever, and this podcast has evolved so much since its inception, and it's continuing to evolve. So if you were around a few months ago, I don't really remember the exact date, but I told you guys there was going to be a little bit of a rebrand of this podcast. You know, when I first started, it was a health and fitness themed podcast, and I think that just because of my nature, like, we're always going to touch on those topics. You know, there's other stuff that I'm interested in, and, you know, sometimes the fitness stuff isn't for everybody, so I want to kind of make this a multifaceted podcast. Want to start doing video again. It's hard for me to get into the studio. And anyway, point being is today is going to be the first real. I mean, we've kind of been like tinkering with it a little bit over the last few weeks. You know, had some fitness stuff, had some life stuff, whatever. But today is the first episode of the official rebrand. For starters, as you guys may or may not know, I've had a Dodger podcast for about 7 years that I ended this past this last season. I decided to end it. But as you guys probably know, if you know me or if you follow me at all, I love the Dodgers. So I'm going to talk about baseball a little bit on this podcast from now on. Just a little bit, you know, maybe spend a few minutes at the beginning kind of recapping stuff, you know. So if you care about that, I'm going to aim to have some baseball players on the podcast because I could fucking talk baseball all day. I told you guys we're going to start talking about wrestling, talk about some pop culture, you know, and then just go from there. And I'll have interviews here and there, you know, depending on where I am and whose schedule and what. Like, you know, I do have some people lined up, but, you know, it's very hard to nail people down. Even though I do have a better handle on my schedule, as you guys know, these episodes have been coming a little bit more regularly over the last few weeks. But, so, this is the first episode of the complete rebrand Camera Ads 10 Pounds. You're welcome. And I have to start off with the top story of the day. First of all, I'm so excited about baseball season started. Even though it's technically started already, the Dodgers had 2 games last week in Korea. In the back of my mind, I really wanted to go. And I wanted to save up money and go, obviously. But also, I'm trying to save up money to move. So it's hard to save money to do more than one thing like that. So I opted to keep the money that I've saved and apply it towards my move and not go to Korea. But what pisses me off is in the back of my mind, I was like, yeah, it would be cool. So here's a fun fact. I'm not naming any names, but one of my ex-girlfriends, not my most recent ex-girlfriend, but one of my ex-girlfriends happened to be a model, beautiful, or she was beautiful. Not the case anymore, but whatever. You know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, whatever. She's a horrible person, or she was a horrible person. Maybe she's a great person now. I don't fucking know, because we don't talk. But this person was a model and went to South Korea on a modeling contract and fucked some dude when she got there. I think I've talked about this at some point on this podcast. And broke my heart, you know, and whatever. And, you know, everything happens for a reason, blah, blah, blah. You know, we broke up, blah, met an amazing girl after that and whatever. And then she broke my heart and whatever and is in Oklahoma. That's a whole thing. But anyway, I've always had some demons in South Korea. And like I said, I did want to go just for the experience of it all, to experience baseball in another country. But in the back of my mind, you know, last year the Dodgers announced that they were going to play... they were going to start the season in 2025 in Paris. And if you know anything about me, that's like my one, if you're like, you can go to one destination in the world, where is it? And I would go to Paris, dude, in a heartbeat. I've always wanted to go to Paris. I don't know why. Like, I'd love to go to Rome. I would love to go to London and all those things. I want to go to Amsterdam for a million reasons. But I've always just, Paris has always been top of my list, dude. Eiffel Tower, fucking eating crepes, fucking French girls with cigarette, you know, addictions. Like, I don't fucking care, dude. I want to go to Paris, okay? And so I was like, all right, well, I can't go to Korea, but I would love to go to Paris next year. And then so when I didn't pull the trigger on Korea, I'm like, that's okay, because I'm going to be in Paris next year, right? And then, like, a week ago or so, I didn't even realize because I've been so busy, but they announced that they're not going to fucking Paris after all next year. Something happened, whatever, fell through, I don't know. But the Dodgers aren't going to Paris next year, but rumor has it they will be going to Japan, which is, I would love to go to Japan. Maybe fuck some Japanese girls. I don't know, dude. There's some hot Japanese wrestlers, I'll tell you that. Female ones, not male ones. I mean, I guess there's hot male ones, but I don't like dudes, so whatever. But there are definitely some attractive Japanese wrestlers, but also there's a lot of American wrestlers that go to Japan to kind of make a name for themselves, and then they come here. But that's another story altogether. They haven't officially announced it yet, but the rumor is the Dodgers will play, and obviously they have the biggest, you know, star in baseball in the world who happens to be Japanese, so it only makes sense that, you know, the Dodgers go to Japan next year. So if they go to Japan, I will fucking go to Japan. Because also, I don't know if I've talked about it on this podcast or my old My Blue Thoughts podcast, but there's a Nippon, I think, is that the way they pronounce it? That's how they say Japan, but the Nippon League, the Japanese major leagues, there's a ballpark there that has a gym that overlooks the fucking ballpark, dude. So you could literally be like on the treadmill or on the elliptical or something and also watching an actual baseball game. Not a baseball game on TV, but like an actual view of the stadium, which I think is fucking cool. There's a... I want to say they're called the Red Hawks or Memphis Red Bird. They're the Cardinals minor league franchise. I think it's called the Red Hawks. Memphis Minor League Baseball. Hold on. I'm Googling it right now because I don't have an assistant. Red Birds. Damn it. I was close. Red Hawks, Red Birds. I knew it was a bird that was red. but they also have like an outdoor. Theirs is like an outdoor thing. That's overlooking the AAA, I think it's AAA stadium, right? Is it AAA? I think it is. It's a very nice ballpark. I'm assuming it's got to be AAA. But anyway, I would love to go to Japan. So if you're listening and fucking you're a Dodger fan too, let's fucking go to Japan next year. AAA affiliate. I was correct. So anyway, big scandal this week or last week, I guess, about... fucking Shohei Ohtani, the Dodgers' biggest signing, not just the Dodgers' biggest signing, but the biggest signing in history ever, you know, $700 fucking million dollar contract, just absolutely insane money, $70 million a year, like insane money. Those, I hope you guys like, you know, those $30 micheladas. And God, I don't even want to know what a Dodger dog costs now, even though I'll be honest, at this point, I eat Dodger dogs purely for the nostalgia, and that's it. Is this a nostalgia thing at this point? They're not my favorite. They're not awful. It's just, it's a hot dog. You know, like, if you go to Dodger Stadium and you've never been, for one, you gotta have one. But also, if you have been, you still need, like, one. Like, I always get one opening day, which is opening day is Thursday. I'm just curious to see how much everything has gone up since they signed Shohei, because I know that tickets to opening day were fucking ridiculous, and I don't know if you look, but I think the market for them, Dodgers overestimated how much people were going to spend on fucking opening day, because when the tickets went on sale, the cheapest ticket was literally $200, which is fucking stupid, because that's literally what I paid to go to the World Series. Yeah. And I've been to multiple World Series games. It's not just, like, the hookup that I had, but I've actually, let's see. Well, the first World Series, Dodgers-Astros, I paid a lot of money for those because that was a different thing altogether. Second time they made it, 2018, I got face value. I want to say it was 205 or 210 or something, right? And then 2020, I got to go to the World Series again, and that was $200. So I'm not spending on opening day what I fucking spent for the fucking World Series, dude. Get the fuck out of here. But tickets have gone down because the Dodgers are in cahoots with StubHub, which is a whole other topic I'll get into at a later date. Like, the tickets will go on sale, and then there's none on sale, but suddenly there's a link to buy those same tickets on StubHub. And that's a bunch of fucking bullshit, because they're double-dipping. They're making the money from the ticket sales, and then they're making whatever agreement they have with StubHub, and I don't like it, but the tickets are much cheaper now. I think last time I checked, the cheapest ticket was like $88 or something, so I'm going to wait it out, and I'm going to go probably by myself on Thursday, because that's how I roll. But big scandal, you know, Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter, who allegedly stole $4.5 million out of Shohei's account and used it for betting on, like, international soccer games and stuff. And there were, it wasn't just like one transaction, it was like multiple wire transfers of like $500,000. And it's very interesting because there's a couple different versions of the story that came out at first. One was he did it and blah, blah, blah. Another one was he had these gambling debts, and because him and Shohei were friends, Shohei let him use the money, kind of like, you know, what a friend would do, I guess. I mean, I've had, you know, a couple people in my lifetime let me borrow money. Not nearly that much. But I mean, if you have it and that's a thing, like, I mean it's not beyond the realm of possibility, but I'm gonna be honest, dude, as a diehard Dodger fan, and just, you know, with, you know, 2 years ago controversy with Trevor Bauer, and then last year with fucking Julio Urias beating the shit out of his wife in public, like, dude. Okay, I am not condoning domestic violence at all. I grew up in a household where domestic violence was a thing. I am anti-domestic violence. I think any guy that hits a girl is a fucking coward. You're a piece of shit. All those things. The Bauer thing is different because that was rough sex and it went too far, and I don't condone that either. But this bitch was fucking crazy and asking for it, so that's a whole other thing. She got proven that she was lying, and that's a whole other thing. But Julio Urias, who had gotten in trouble a year prior for alleged domestic violence, and then the charges were dropped, and then it resurfaces last year at a fucking soccer game, dude. It's like, bro, you're about to sign the biggest fucking contract of your life, the one that's going to set you up for life. Because I don't know what you guys know about baseball contracts. Okay. I don't know what you guys are in sports. You're about to find out, though. In MLB, Major League Baseball, any contract that you sign, unless you break the law and, like, get kicked off the team or do some shit like, you know, get suspended for some shit like that, like, you know, steroids or whatever, like, that money's guaranteed. Like, whatever your contract, you know, you hear it all the time, like in the NFL, when someone signs, you know, $100 million contract, $40 million guaranteed, or the NBA, same thing. It's like, these guys sign these contracts in those leagues, and you're going to get a percentage of it, but you're not going to get the whole, you're not guaranteed the whole thing unless you play out the length of your contract. Well, in MLB, you could literally sign a $300 million contract, cough, cough, fucking Anthony Rendon, play two games, get hurt forever, and you're still getting that money. Unless you retire early, you're getting that fucking money, dude. You could be on the roster, on the DL, or I'm sorry, IL, for the length of your contract, and you're getting paid, dude. You don't even have to be with the team. You know, I don't know if you guys saw Walker Buehler was not with the Dodgers most of last year because he was rehabbing. So, anyway, my point is, Julio Urias, like, if you know, like I said, I'm not condoning domestic violence. I'm very anti, not just domestic violence, but men hitting women. Now, if she's identifying as a woman, but she's got a dick, there's a slippery slope there. You know what I mean? I don't know what the protocol is, but I think if she still has a dick, and I'm using the proper pronouns, if she still has a dick and she swings at you, I think it's open game, but I don't think you could instigate. That's just how it works, I think. I don't know. But if you're Julio Urias, dude, and you know that you're about to sign the biggest fucking contract of your life, you beat the shit out of your wife at home, dude. You don't do that shit in public where there's fucking people that can film you and implicate you and ruin your life forever. So, my point is, Trevor Bauer's scandal 2 years ago, Julio Urias' scandal last year, and now we're starting the season with another fucking scandal. It's like, damn it, dude. And the thing that bothers me is that there's so many Dodger haters. Like, so many Dodger haters. There's people that have these rivalries built up. I've talked about this on my Dodger podcast, and now you guys are in on it, too. The Dodger fans, we hate the Giants. We hate Angel fans. We don't really have any care towards the Angels. We hate their annoying fans that act like they're diehard. And if you look at the stadium and attendance, there ain't a lot of diehard Angel fans anymore. You know, after 2002, a lot of people came out of the woodwork, and, you know, for a while there, they were going, they had guys like Vladimir Guerrero and Garrett Anderson and Jose Guillen and Jared Weaver, and, like, they had solid guys, dude. Like, as a baseball fan and as a kid, you know, growing up in Southern California, dude, I always liked the Angels. I just didn't like how this superiority complex came from people that rooted for the Angels. It's mainly white people, if I'm being honest. And there's got to be some underlying racism there. Like, you hear, like, Dodger Stadium's ghetto and this and that. And it's like, dude, Dodger Stadium is not fucking ghetto, dude. If you think that's the ghetto, I would like to drive you to where my parents grew up. Fucking East L.A., Boyle Heights, El Sereno. Like, fucking, you want to see fucking ghetto, dude? Dodger Stadium is in a ravine. That was a beautiful neighborhood back in the day. If you haven't seen the documentary, I highly recommend it. But my point is, Angel fans are fucking annoying. Now, Padre fans have also created this rivalry that doesn't really exist. Although, you know, they're competitive, so, you know, the games are a little bit more exciting now. There's a little bit more, Dodger-Padre games are no longer, you know, 80% Dodger fans. Like, it's a little bit closer to 50-50 nowadays because their team is kind of good. But there's no fucking rivalry. We hate the Astros because they cheated us out of the World Series. There's always going to be an underlying, you know, Dodgers-Yankees, I guess. I don't really fucking care at this point because I didn't really grow up with a Dodger-Yankee rivalry. You know what I mean? I mean, they played in the World Series in 1981 and they won. You know, but I don't fucking remember that shit, dude. You know, I got brought into Fernando Mania, but I wasn't there when like it took off. I mean, I guess I was there. I was at games, but like, I mean, I was two. You know what I mean? I don't fucking remember that shit. But anyway, so now we have a scandal. His fucking interpreter is betting or is cover. To be honest, dude, this is my take, and I've already spent too much time on this, more time than I wanted to, but I know Shohei makes a lot of fucking money, but if you're going to tell me that this dude didn't know that his fucking buddy was dipping in and taking, you know, $500,000 here and there to cover gambling debts, like, I don't know, dude. I don't, like I said, I don't know. I've never had that much money. I definitely have enough money where if, you know, a couple hundred dollars is missing, I'm like, where the fuck did that couple hundred dollars go? You know what I mean? Like, I don't believe the whole story. I think this guy's taking the fall for Shohei. I don't think Shohei bet on baseball, but he's got to have a guy to take a fall because online sports betting is not legal in every state. So there's legal ramifications when it comes to that and using illegal sites depending on where you live, and it's a whole thing. Like, you can go to Vegas and fucking bet, but you can't bet on baseball. Like, that's a rule. But he's not being accused of betting on baseball. So it's like, it's this weird, slippery gray area. And he, Shohei, completely is like, fucking, I didn't know this motherfucker was stealing money. I didn't know he had gambling debts. This is the first I've heard of it. I didn't give it to him. He stole it from me. This motherfucker's a liar and a thief. Like, whoa. Okay? Now, if that's his buddy taking the fucking fall, that's a good fucking friend. Because if you're going to slander my name like that, I better be well compensated. And he might be. You know, I don't know what the prison sentence is for these crimes for illegal betting. It can't be that serious. If he goes to prison, he's probably looking at, I don't know, a couple months, you know, staying wherever the fuck Martha Stewart stayed when they're, you know, planting strawberries and just fucking hanging out and reading books and shit, dude. It's not like it's crazy hardcore, like, you know what I mean? It's white collar prison, dude, like, whatever. And then he gets paid off, and then fucking Shohei can go on and live his life. Like, I think that's the case. I just don't completely believe Shohei's story. That's just me, dude. I'm not naive. I'm not a fucking, just because I'm a Dodger fan, just believe every, like, I would like to believe it. And if it's true, great. But I don't know. It just seems a little fishy. And it just sucks that all the Dodger haters are going to fucking surface and talk shit. Even though everyone wanted Shohei on their team. Every fucking buddy wanted Shohei on their team. So eat dicks. Okay. So that's my take on that. Very excited about baseball season started. As you guys know, I said, talked about it a little bit last week, but I was able to attend the private Justin Timberlake show. Now it's been almost 2 weeks now. I'm still kind of living on a cloud because of that, because it was literally one of the best days of my life, if not the best day of my life. Just an amazing experience. And then since then, he's released his album that's fucking amazing, and I can't stop listening to it. And I'm going to go see him on tour in a few weeks. I'm very excited, although I'm bummed that I can't see him in L.A. I happen to be on the road that weekend, so I'm going to have to go down to fucking San Diego. But, you know, I'm excited, you know, to see. I've seen him in concert so many times. You know, my I dated a person once. One of my exes, she really wasn't into going to concerts, and I don't really understand it. I guess maybe just because I'm an artist, you know, it's different for me. Like, I love just being surrounded by that kind of, like, I love going to the movies, like, going to, I love watching movies anyway, but, like, going to the movies, like, the sound, the smell, like, the seats, it's like, it's part of our culture. Like, we, as Americans, invented that shit, you know what I mean? Like, so I enjoy that, but I also really love going to concerts. Like, it's inspiring to me to see, like, you know, like, that kind of fan adoration. And just, like, as someone that performs regularly, you know, I know what it feels like to be on stage and just know that this, I mean, mine is different, obviously, because I'm doing stand-up, but, like, just to know what it feels like to have the audience just eating out of your fucking hand, and, like, I don't know, dude, I love it. And also, like, you know, I grew up, I went to a couple concerts as a kid, Rick Springfield, El Chicano, which is so fucking random. I feel like I'm missing somebody, but I never got to see, like, Michael Jackson or Prince, or, you know what I mean? And obviously they died. I never got to see Nirvana, and those are guys I would have loved to have seen. So, like, I'm lucky that I was able to see, you know, Linkin Park before Chester died. I've, not that any of these guys are going to die, but I've seen Korn and Disturbed and fucking Slipknot. You know, half the guys, I mean, not half of them, but, like, a couple of them have died, and guys have gotten kicked out of the band, and it's just, like, they just keep fucking going. But, like, there's just always a thing of me, like, I want to see my favorite artists live. I've seen Blink-182, somebody, I'm going to see them in a few months. I'm very excited about that. Just, like, because you never, I mean, like, I'm seeing Blink-182, and Tom's back with the fucking group, and I didn't think that was going to happen. You know, I've seen them, I saw them with Matt Skiba. I saw them in their Vegas residency. I saw them at the Roxy. I saw them, where else did I see them? When the new guy joined, and it's just like, okay, this is cool. I thought I would never see Tom with them again, but, you know, as the song says, you know, it shouldn't take a sickness or airplanes falling out the sky. Like, they made it work. They got back together. Moral of the story. But, like, so as an artist and someone who loves getting inspired, like, I will go out of my way to see my favorite artists as much as I can, which is why I've seen Justin countless times in concert. He's my favorite, you know, like, any chance I have to see my favorite, like, I'm gonna fucking go, dude, and I will have those memories forever. You know, I talk about it a lot on my NSYNC podcast, but it's like, you know, from NSYNC days to now, like, to, you know, to what he was before and what he's evolved into, it's like, you know, we've kind of grown up together, Justin and I, like, you know, his life and my life, although very different career trajectories. He's a little bit more famous than I am, but, like, you know, like, when he was young and trying to establish himself, I was young and trying to establish himself. And when he was going through relationship stuff, I was going through relationship stuff. And it's just, like, all these different things. And, like, now we're all grown up, and it's just, you know, he's evolved, I've evolved, and it's just great, you know? So I'm excited about that. The album is fucking great, dude. If you haven't listened to it, I played that song for you guys. Imagination, it's fucking great. There's 18 songs on there. They're all fucking great. The song with NSYNC is on there. It's called Paradise. Like, I highly recommend it. I'm not going to get super into it, but, you know, we do talk about stuff like this now. So there you go. And then lastly, we want to talk some more pop culture. It is WrestleMania season, you guys. I know. I know some of you guys tuned in for the wrestling talk. I'm just all in, dude. Like, as a kid that grew up, you know, watching Hulk Hogan, you know, I talked about it on the very first episode of this podcast, but, you know, when I was 8 years old, I mean, I loved Hulk Hogan, dude. Hulk Hogan was a fucking superhero to me. I remember just one day randomly, you know, watching cartoons and then watching whatever was on after cartoons, and then Wrestling Superstars came on, like, at 11 o'clock. And then here's this fucking larger-than-life character. All right, little Hulksters, I want you to take your vitamins, say your prayers. You know, like, what you gonna do, brother? Still have the cough. especially when I'm trying to do Hulk Hogan imitation. But, like, falling in love with wrestling as a kid, and I can tell you this, I don't know if I've told this story, but you know, like, my brother and I have two brothers, as you guys may or may not know. I have a brother, Adam, who I'm 7 years older than, and then I have a brother, Travis, who I'm 9 years older than. I was only child for a while. So when Adam was a baby and, you know, and a young toddler, like, I would, like, play wrestle with him. I was, like, you know, six, seven, whatever, you know, eight. And I gave Adam a wrestling move, the DDT. And I don't know what happened. I think he just tried to block the fall or something, and I broke his arm. And I wasn't allowed to watch wrestling for It seemed like an eternity. I honestly don't quite remember the timeline of how long I was not allowed to watch wrestling, but it was a minute. And I'll never forget my dad coming home. So my dad used to work graveyards, overnight shifts. He would come home at like, 7 o'clock in the morning or something. I don't know what his shift was, but that seems about right. 7:30, 8 o'clock maybe. And I remember it was, I guess it was a Monday morning. So it could have been the week after, maybe. I'm just trying to figure out why I was home. Maybe, you know what? It might have been spring break, because timeline, that would make sense. But I remember my dad coming home from, and I had no idea, but my dad was like, hey, if I let you watch wrestling again, you promise not to do wrestling moves on your little brother? And I said, yes, I promise. He's like, okay. And then he pulls out a VHS tape of WrestleMania 3. And if you guys know WrestleMania, if you guys follow wrestling, WrestleMania 3 was the big Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant. Like, basically, Andre the Giant, you know, Hulk Hogan was already larger than life at this point. But this, in wrestling terms, was Andre putting him over. Like, this was Andre, essentially, who had been, like, the guy for so long, officially handing off the torch to Hulk Hogan as if, like, all right, now you're the guy, you know? And on top of that, there was, like, this whole storyline where they were best friends, and then Andre turned on him. He ripped off his shirt and his gold cross off of his neck, and it was, like, a whole thing. And it was just, like, Andre was just, like, this horrible bad. And he was a giant. He was literally, like, 7'4", you know, I want to say, like, 500 pounds. And Hulk Hogan is this big fucking jack, tan, blonde, buff fucking dude. And it was just an epic, you know, WrestleMania. There was Ricky Steamboat versus Randy Savage. It was, who else was involved? The British Bulldogs and the Hart Foundation, I want to say. Like, I mean, it was a huge card at the time. And I think even until recently, like, that was the largest crowd to ever be at a wrestling event live. They were in Detroit at the Pontiac Silverdome. And I wasn't expecting my dad to bring a tape, you know. So I just remember, like, you know, putting in the VCR and watching it. And I had seen WrestleMania at this point. Like, you know, you would go to, like, you know, the Warehouse or Music Plus, fucking, that's how old I am, and rent, like, the old VHS tapes, you know, and I would watch it. So I honestly don't remember if I had seen WrestleMania 1 and 2 at this point, but probably. But I honestly don't remember. But I just remember, like, you know, my dad putting the fucking tape in and me watching it. And then, you know, 3 hours later or whatever, here's Hulk Hogan, you know, body slamming Andre the Giant. And, you know, little, you know, 8-year-old Peter is fucking jumping up and down on the couch. Just like, I can't, he body slammed the 500-pound giant, dude. Like, are you serious? Like, that was so iconic. And it's funny because people will talk shit about that match because, you know, even though Hulk Hogan was larger than life, like, he wasn't, like, the best wrestler. He was just the best entertainer. Like, he could talk, and he had the look, and, you know, he was America, and he was Hulkamania running wild, and it was just all these, it was the perfect storm, you know. And his song, you know, I am a real American, you know, height of the Cold War. Like, of course, he's going to be our fucking hero, you know. But that was like, that's like the WrestleMania that, like, essentially launched, even though Hulk Hogan was already a star, launched him into, like, super, super stardom, you know, and then really kind of laid the foundation for wrestling moving forward and what wrestling became and just everything. And it was all because of that moment, you know, Andre passing the torch. And I talked about this on here, but when I was 8 years old, my 8th birthday, I got a Hulkamania workout set, and I fucking worked out, dude. I had the tape. It came with a cassette tape. It came with two dumbbells. It came with a hand gripper. It came with a fucking jump rope. And it came with a poster diagram. And the tape, the cassette tape, was narrated by Hulk Hogan. He'd be like, "All right, little Hulkster, start getting those knees up. We're going to go high knees. We're going to get you warmed up. Don't cheat, little Hulkster, because I'll body slam you." And it was like, it was fucking cool. And like, to this day, you know, I every once in a while, you know, when I have extra money lying around, I will go on eBay and take a look at the Hulkamania workout set, and it's always like hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And like, man, but I tell you what, when I have like endless money to like just waste on shit, dude, you better believe I'm fucking purchasing a replica of that shit. If there's any fans out there that want to gift me a Hulkamania workout set, dude, I will accept. You could DM me, I'll give you my address. when I went to Tampa in October, I went to Hulk Hogan's store. I don't know if I talked about this on the podcast or not, but they had a Hulkamania workout set, and it was like, I want to say it was like $300, $400, but I was just like, ugh. I really needed the money. I was getting paid that weekend, and I wasn't about to fucking spend a quarter of it on, you know, the Hulkamania workout set. One day, though. But anyway, it's WrestleMania season. WrestleMania is the biggest event in all. It's a Super Bowl of wrestling, basically. Even if you don't know or don't follow wrestling, you know what WrestleMania is. You know my favorite wrestler, Cody Rhodes, or you may not know, but he's fighting for the title again, which I'm very excited. You know, it was very sad to see him lose last year, you know, when we went to WrestleMania at SoFi. But this year it's in Philadelphia. I wanted to go, but my buddy's getting married the day before on night one of WrestleMania. So not only am I going to miss night one of WrestleMania, I'm not going to miss it. I just have to stay off of social media while I'm at this fucking wedding and then drive home and then watch WrestleMania, which is going to be like 4.5-5 hours into the wee hours of the morning. Or it's going to be really hard for me to stay off of social media. So I'm going to have to watch it as soon as I can. And then Sunday is the main event, Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns. But my favorite wrestler of all time, who, I mean, Hulk Hogan's there, but for me, like, The Rock, kind of like in my young adult life, was very influential, and I still love Dwayne Johnson. Like, he was the first kind of bad guy, him and Stone Cold, but The Rock was just so charismatic, and like, I've adapted so many of his principles when it comes to, like, you know, waking up early and fucking just hitting the gym no matter what, and even if I have to be on set or if I have a show, like, fucking hitting the gym no matter what. And like, a lot of that stuff, you know, I learned from, you know, reading interviews with The Rock and stuff. But he's back, and he's involved in this storyline, and he's going to be fighting. Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins are tag teaming to fight The Rock and Roman Reigns on night one. And then whoever wins, that will dictate what the rules are for night two. It's just this whole thing, but it's just been really great to have The Rock come back and do his fucking hot promos. And even though, like, he's technically a bad guy, like, he's still, like, hilarious. And it's just so fun right now. Like, you know, like, I kind of stopped watching wrestling for a while, but like during COVID, I kind of got back into it, man, because there was nothing else on. And these guys were fucking still going out there and performing at a high level with no fans. You know, I think I've talked about it on here, but like during COVID, you know, there were comedians, most of them not good, but there were comedians going online doing Zoom shows and shit, dude, with like, the audience is there, but like it's in a Zoom room. And it was like, the thing is, dude, I'm confident enough in myself to know that I didn't fucking need that shit, dude. I'm like, no, I do real fucking comedy. I'm not doing any fucking Zoom comedy. I'm, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not sitting there in my bedroom fucking doing comedy to, you know, fucking 50 people that are, you know, sitting in their underwear, you know, maybe jacking off. I don't fucking know, dude. Like, it's just, the thing was, I would see these, like, Zoom shows, and, like, it was all shitty comics, dude. People that don't work anyway, and it's like, I work. You know, like, I work a lot. So, I recognize, you know, and depending on how long, like I said, you've been listening to this, like, I knew that COVID, it was out of my control. Like, there's nothing I can do about it. you know, I could just wait till it was time to go back to work and be ready when it was time. But, like, not doing fucking Zoom comedy, dude. But these wrestlers, they did fucking Zoom wrestling. I mean, like, they had, like, people were, like, logged in through Zoom. And so, like, they were at the Performance Center. And so, like, kind of like the NBA did, if you guys remember, like, they had people on the screens that were, like, cheering, I guess, and they would pipe in fan noise, and just not the same. But these wrestlers, like, you know, they were still putting their fucking lives on the line. Like, that's what people don't understand about wrestling, is why I love it so much. Especially if you go to a live event, is like, these dudes and these women are literally putting their lives on the line. Like, if you see some of the shit that there's this guy, Google it, or go on Instagram, Darby Allin. This motherfucker, he's an AEW. He's one of my favorites in AEW. I just love him, dude, because this motherfucker, he got on top of a ladder that was inside. Did I talk about this? I don't think I did. I'm going to play it for you guys, even though it's not going to nearly do it justice, but I'm going to fucking play this shit for you guys. Okay? Hold on. Jamie, look that up for me. Darby Allin. Here we go. This is it right here. I'm going to play it, okay? So you guys can hear. Because even the fan reaction, you're going to be like, what just happened? Hold on. Let's do it again. One more time. So what you can't see is this fucking dude put a ladder that I'm assuming is, let's just say it's 8 feet. I don't know, but maybe like it's 10 feet, maybe 12 feet. And the ladder is inside the wrestling ring. So the wrestling ring, if I had to guess, the bottom of the ring probably goes up 5 feet, maybe 4 feet. And then on top of that, you have a ladder. So let's just say, I'm just going to go on, let's just say it's an 8 foot ladder. So this motherfucker is standing on top of an 8, no, this is higher than 8 feet, dude. It's got to be a 10 foot ladder at least. And there's a plate of glass on the floor outside of the ring that is laying on some chairs. And this motherfucker gets to the top and, like, he's going to flip onto a wrestler. And he does a fucking front flip from the top of the fucking, from the top of the ladder onto the glass that's on the floor. And he cut his back in like a million places. It's fucking gnarly, dude. Like, the dude could have died. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think people understand. Like, when the people that say wrestling's fake, it's like, that motherfucker did that stunt. Like, is it scripted? 100%. But these guys are basically all stuntmen. Not basically. They're all stuntmen. These guys and these girls are putting on, they're putting their lives online because, like, you know, you could practice and you know how to, they call it take a bump and all these things. But, like, if you miss an inch or two here and there, like, people's careers have ended. Like, I'm sure somebody has died in the ring. I mean, Owen Hart, if you guys want to Google Owen Hart, God, what year was that? Like 96 or 97? I'll look this up right now. Owen Hart. 99. He was coming into the ring, like making some entrance where he was on, what do you call it? Like a zip line of some sort, like coming down from the rafters and it gets to come into the ring. And something happened and it fucking malfunctioned. This motherfucker was flying above the arena and it broke and he fucking fell and he died. Died in front of, like, you know, 15,000 people, dude. Like, it was on TV, and it's like these guys put their fucking lives on the line all the time, and it's incredible. Like, the bond between wrestling fans and wrestlers is unlike any other. you know, like, obviously, you know, like I said, you know, you go to Justin Timberlake concert. It's great. I love him. I'll cry a bunch of times when I go to the concert. I cried when NSYNC got back together. Like, that's a whole thing. But these guys aren't putting their fucking lives on the line. Like, they're just performing and singing and dancing. And that's great. It's inspiring. But, like, these wrestlers are, like I said, putting their lives on the fucking line, dude. So there's a bond between wrestling fans and wrestlers, especially the guys that have been around for a while, where we just appreciate them on a different level because we know that they're literally putting their lives and their health on the line. I mean, some guys don't die, obviously, but they might have career-ending injuries, or they can break their neck, they can, you know, do something like have to get their backs fused together. Like, it is not easy on the body. That's why, you know, if you go back, you know, there's like these sad Yahoo stories, or if you watch like WWE Bio, which I can't fucking stop watching on A&E, like, they tell these stories of these guys, and a lot of them, you know, ended up on heavy drugs, you know, like, you know, painkillers and alcohol and cocaine or heroin or all these fucking crazy drugs because they had to numb the pain, because a lot of these guys were on the road, you know, 300 plus days a year, putting their bodies on the line every fucking night for our entertainment. So, you know, like I said, is it scripted? Totally. Is it fake? Watch this fucking guy jump through the glass from the ladder and tell me that shit's fake, dude. That shit is real. So, anyway, WrestleMania is coming up. I'm excited. I hope Cody wins. I'm just not a big Roman Reigns fan. Like, he's been one of the longest champions and arguably maybe one of the best champions, and it's a whole character. Like, I get it, but I'm just not a fan. I'll be honest. Like, I respect it and whatever. Like, I just, like, he always cheats to win, and it's just Cody's my guy, dude. Cody's the guy that fucking took time out of his day to sit and chat with me and, you know, took a chance on himself, quit his job where he was making, I don't know about millions, but like really good money. Like, when the guys go to WWE, even if you're not like the star, like, you're getting very well compensated. And he didn't like where his character direction was going, so he fucking left, dude, and started doing indie shows. I talked about it before, but like, started doing indie shows, you know, in front of 100 people in a high school somewhere, 200 people in a fucking sweaty auditorium somewhere. Like, and he's the son of a fucking wrestling legend, Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream. You know, his brother was, you know, is still wrestling, but like, his brother, who's like, you know, I want to say like 15, 20 years older than him, like, you know, was a big prominent figure in WWE back in the day, and like, you know, it's a family legacy. But like, he took a chance on himself, left the sure thing, and then reestablished himself, and then helped the Young Bucks fucking launch the biggest indie wrestling show of all time, All in Chicago 2017. And that's how AEW came to be, you know, and the rest is history. And then, you know, after proving himself and proving he was a box office draw, you know, he bet on himself, and then he came back to WWE, and now he's the face of the company, dude. He's literally the face of WWE 2K, you know, the new game. And you see him on all these promos, like, not promos, but like, you know, the WWE does these thing called house shows where, you know, for what, I don't know what you guys know or what you don't know, but WWE has a couple shows that are on television. They have Monday Night Raw, which is like their flagship show that's been on for 30 years now. It's on USA Monday nights. It's about to move to Netflix next year, which is fucking wild because it's been on USA forever. But Netflix gave them something crazy. I want to say like $5 billion or $6 billion or something like that. But anyway, so there's Monday Night Raw, and then there's WWE SmackDown, which is on Friday nights. That's a two-hour show. And then you have NXT, which is kind of like the minor leagues for WWE, and that's on Tuesdays. And I watch some of it. I don't watch it as much, but I watch all of Raw and all of SmackDown at some point. So that's 5 hours of wrestling that I watch just with WWE alone. And then AEW has Wednesday Night Dynamite, which is 2 hours. And they have Friday Night Rampage, which is 1 hour. And they have Saturday Night Collision, which is 2 hours. So that's 5 hours of wrestling there. So every week, 10 hours. And I'll be honest. Sometimes I watch live. A lot of times I watch live. But I'm also, like, doing my work at that time. So, like, I'm sending emails. Unless it's, like, for me, it's kind of like baseball. Like I'm watching the game, but, like, you can also do other shit while you're watching the game. So, you know, I'll send my emails and everything. And this, it's like a match that, like, if it's two performers that I really want to see in action, then I'll stop what I'm doing. But, you know, there's plenty of commercial breaks, and I get a lot done while I'm watching wrestling. I just don't want you to think I'm a fucking loser sitting on my ass. Sometimes I watch it while I'm driving, you know, put the fucking TV on my phone and just fucking watch it while I'm stuck in traffic for 2 hours, which happens a lot. But wrestling right now is financially, from what I hear, WWE for sure, like ticket sales, live events, merchandise, like everything is at an all-time high. But anyway, well, I was talking about the house shows. So WWE, I'll go back really quick. So WWE has the two shows that are on television every week, but then they have house shows, which are shows that aren't televised. A lot of times it's just like a dress rehearsal between like what's going to happen the following week on one of the television shows. So the guys kind of like, then they do a dress rehearsal. They practice the match and whatever. And, you know, you usually, if you go to a house show, you probably know how the match that's going to be on Raw the following week is going to go because that's the dress rehearsal. But, you know, sometimes the guys have more fun. They joke around. They talk to the audience. They break character a little bit. But Cody, like, he's been doing these things where, like, somebody at one of the house shows had a sign that said, "Hey, Cody, will you be my best man in my wedding?" And he fucking saw it and was like, "Well, I got to do it now, don't I?" And he's going to be the fucking best man in some fucking guy's wedding, dude. Like, a stranger that he's never met before. And then there's, like, another one where there's, like, a kid, like, "Hey, will you come to my 5th birthday party?" And so it's, like, if you want to invite him to something, I guess he's going to, like, he's the face of the, he's going to a 5-year-old birthday party, dude. Like, can you imagine? Like I said, like, and the thing is, like, some of that, like, it's not on TV, so it's not like the cameras are rolling. He could easily be like, "Oh, I'm sorry, like, I have an obligation that weekend," or whatever, but, like, you know, the cameras weren't rolling when I went to his gym, dude, and he took a time, he came out, talked to me, like, he's a real dude, man. He loves he grew up in the business, he watched one of the best to ever do it, and he understands the importance of, you know, just how important that those kind of, like, touch points are to people when they meet, you know, essentially their heroes, their favorite wrestler. Like, you know, how many times have you heard of a celebrity who's a complete fucking asshole? You know, I've told a story on my Dodger podcast many times, but Will Clark, who was a Giant player, who was really good, who I liked because I was a baseball fan. You know, I was 10 years old, and we were all trying to get his autograph, and he fucking yelled at us, "I've told you before, kids, I'm not signing. Now beat it." And you're going to fucking talk to a bunch of kids like that, dude, you're a fucking piece of shit. And I will, until he is fucking buried, and he's a piece of shit, too. He runs his mouth about the fucking Dodgers and signing Shohei, and he's, fuck Will Clark, dude, he's a fucking piece of shit, okay? Fuck Will Clark. Some guys just don't get it. I was so glad. So glad when he was fucking done with baseball, dude, because he's a fucking piece of shit, okay? But Cody gets it, dude. He wants to make those impressions on fans and have lifelong fans and just understanding that, like, you know, what to him is a couple minutes out of, I mean, being somebody's best man in their wedding and going to a 5-year-old birthday party, that's a whole other thing, but, you know, taking 10 minutes out of his day when he was getting ready for WrestleMania last year to come talk to me and all these different, you know, instances like that, that he does with fans. Like, he's just a fucking good dude, dude. That's not fake. That's like, and if it's fake, dude, then good on him for putting forth that phony face. But I don't think so, dude. I really think he has a wrestling school at his gym, dude. The dude loves wrestling and the business of professional wrestling, and I'm excited. I hope he fucking wins, but that's that. So with that being said, I think I covered all that stuff. There's your rebranded podcast, you guys. You're welcome. Like I said, I still plan on having guests and everything. It's just I got to put these episodes out every week, and if I have a guest, great. If not, it's just me. But also, I'm running a marathon. I literally signed up today. I'm running a marathon. I got in next month, April 28th. So we'll talk about that. I have this girl lined up who's like the top, one of the top 10 runners in the country, or in the world, or in the country. But like, she's a fucking badass. She's running Boston in a few weeks. So I'm going to have her on at some point. She's amazing, dude, first of all. So, I'm very curious to pick her brain about that. If you guys are into like marathon running and stuff, there's a couple wrestlers that I have lined up, you know, especially with WrestleMania season and stuff. So just stay tuned, you guys. You know, like I said, it's a rebrand, but it's still me, still just talking about more things nowadays. So with that being said, if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, leave a review, rate it, subscribe. You guys know how that rolls. And if you're listening on Spotify, do the same thing. Rate it, subscribe, blah, blah, blah. This has been The Camera Adds 10 Pounds. And I'll see you guys next time. Imagine if you made me